This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Doing well, Josh. And this is a banner week on Always Cheating. Of course, we're going to talk about the blank and doubles coming up, but we're welcoming a guest. We are here with the first ever female fantasy YouTuber. She is known and loved throughout the FPL community, FPL Nymphria. Welcome, Nym. Welcome to the pod.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Yeah, this is, you know, this is new territory for us. Every, I think it's like every 30 months, we have a guest on the podcast.
You rolled somebody out of the cupboard.
Yeah, so we're excited. We're excited to have you on. We had done, it was something to do with the football content awards. They asked us, both of us, to do like a Facebook chat or something like that a couple months ago. And we got a chance to talk to you then, and I know Brandon and I afterwards were just like, yeah, that was a really fun conversation. We should have her in the pod sometime. And so, you know, we're just so glad that you agreed to come on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really good. We just seemed to vibe quite well together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nym, you have an awesome Twitter account, at FPLNym, that's NYM. You have your YouTube channel, and you also host the FPL Wildcats pod. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you hail from? Who do you support? What's your history with FPL?
Okay, so I come from the England-Wales border in the UK, and I have been playing fantasy football since the 2005-2006 season. So just got into it because a friend I went to university with, a guy, he used to play it. And I used to watch Match of the Day with him, usually just to watch Arsenal play because they're my team. And
they were better back then, if I remember.
They were. It was slightly better back then, yeah. Good times. And so he said, I play this fancy football game and I don't really have anyone, because our group of mates, they weren't really very football focused. And he said, I don't really have anyone else to play it with. And I know, you know, you're an Arsenal fan and you watch Match of the Day with us. So would you be interested in kind of coming into a little mini league with me? And I was like, I have no idea what that is, but yeah, why not? I'll give it a go. And yeah, did one season, beat him, you know, of course. Maybe you thought easy fodder.
I feel like an early good season is what like turns us all into addicts, right? You do because I know my experience was kind of the same, where my first fantasy season was 2010, and I really had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I didn't know what I was captaining players, and I don't even think I really even knew what it meant, you know. And I was
just
like,
making it up.
I was really just making it up, and it was a Sergio Aguero's first season, and it was like, you know, third
Sergio
game week. I do too. I still do, and like, you know, I mean, awful, unfortunate season for him, but. And now it looks like he's out for this week, right? There's like some sort of COVID case in his
family. Not good at all.
Yeah. But he scored a hat trick in like game week three, and I was suddenly like in first place, like, but I didn't have any idea what I was doing. And like, I was like, oh, well, this is great. I love this. And you know, it's like,
I'll do this again.
Yeah, exactly. Like an early good moment is like where all addiction is in fantasy, I think, I feel like is born. But I wanted to ask you, so, you know, I know like there are some like, I feel like we've seen a lot more women become active in the fantasy community in the last, especially in the last year or so. There's, you know, some old guard, I don't want to say old guard, but like just people who've been around for a long time, like Kat and Ness come to mind immediately. But like, I feel like just in the last year or so, there's been a real explosion in people on Twitter and creating, you know, creating content on YouTube or podcasts or whatever. And like, have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, there's definitely been more of a surge of females in the community, which has been great. Of course, as you mentioned, some of the well knowns there, obviously Holly, Sam, we have Lynn as well, but we've got, you know, Kylie, we've got some regulars, some really great women in the community, but also a lot of newbies coming in. But I know this week's been pretty controversial because we've had a fair few catfishes going on in the community.
Which I've seen this pop up in my timeline, Nim, and I have to plead ignorance. I don't know what it means. So can you give me the quick, like, Wikipedia plot summary of what's going on here?
I'll definitely try anyway. It's basically when an account sets itself up and pretends to be, you know, somebody else, that they're not using fake pictures and, you know, fake profile, all of that sort of stuff. So there was a bit of a kind of chat that went on last weekend, I believe, about, you know, I think it was a few people in the community were discussing whether or not certain women could, you know, do FPL or play FPL.
Oh God, I'm so glad I missed this.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And somebody made a bit of a sexist joke around it. And so it became a bit of a discussion about accounts getting more followers because they were female in FPL rather than actually because they're any good at the content they make or the game, you know, the advice they give and all that sort of stuff. And so a couple of people involved in that, we do believe, then went off and made some catfish accounts as women and joined the community as women to try and basically prove a point that they could then get more followers quickly because they were just female as opposed to, you know, being somebody who was male and able to, you know, have an account.
This is like the men who enter the women's tournament in the World Series of Poker, which is like a thing that happens from time to time. And you're like, who, like, what? Like, what kind of psychology, like what kind of person, you know, it's such a horrible behavior. It's
tough because, you know, it's just, it just takes away all the integrity for those of us that are in it and are trying to, you know, be serious and to prove that, you know, we can play this game, you know, hopefully as well as, you know, somebody different sex, different race, different religions. Right. It doesn't matter. Everyone can play the game, you know? So I just feel like it's so horrible for those. And it makes you question as well then when new females come into the community, who's actually real or not. And that's horrible as well in itself, because it's in my nature to want to obviously support anybody who, you know, comes into the community, female, you know, wanting to kind of be a part of the community, because it's so male dominated anyway. So it's nice to be able to kind of say, you know, come on in. And and Kat does a brilliant job of that. She has the Rebel Girls, and she does a great job of having, you know, new women come in and join, you know, the women. And we have a little direct message group, and that's really lovely. But, you know, this sort of thing kind of then makes you question who, you know, who's real and who's not. And that's, you know, it's quite scary.
Well, we have, you know, I mean, I feel like we've seen in America, the internet is horrible stuff really taken to another level in the last week. So I had not heard about that, and that's awful. And if that does, you know, let's hope that there's a chance to name and shame some of these people, because that's really completely awful behavior. Wow, I'm shocked. I'm like such
I can tell you're shocked. You're breathless, Josh.
I know, I am. Well, you know, like classic, like white guy. I'm just like, oh, like, well, this is that, you know, like, oh, I had no idea. But like, this is really awful. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Let us turn the page on that, because it's awful. Yeah. We're super stoked, Nim, to have you here to talk about FPL and get some of your expertise. Let's have a couple of icebreakers before we get into that game week 18 chat. As we all know, this has been a weekend for friends and family and not for the Premier League. And I remember my wife had come home from running an errand, and I was watching the end of the Arsenal-Newcastle game, and it was like she caught me. She's like, I thought you told me there wasn't any football on this weekend. So, how much of the FA Cup did you take in this weekend, Nim, and did we get any takeaways from it for our FPL squads?
Yeah, a bit like you, I guess. I kind of tried to see it as a bit of a break, because with the Premier League, it's been so thick and fast, with the fixtures being the way they've been at the moment, especially for us content creators. You know, there's no real downtime from it. So the FA Cup has been a kind of bit of a side note on my weekend, I have to admit. I've kept one eye on it, I guess, in terms of, obviously, with free hitting in Game Week 18. So I have kept a bit of an eye on that. But yeah, I was just super stoked, really, for Arsenal, to be honest. It's just nice to see us doing well again, to be honest.
I suppose we had to talk quite a bit about that in our Game Week 18 chat, because suddenly Arsenal have gone from zeros to heroes, and they could play a major role in our free hits.
Let's not say quite a bit. We don't want people to like just log off already. So we'll do a little, bit of Arsenal.
Just fill their team with them.
I know. I only watched about 30 minutes of FA Cup this weekend, and it was the extra time of the Arsenal-Newcastle match. I feel like I picked the right 30 minutes, because I saw the Emile Smith Rowe, which is kind of a fun goal, because it was, you know, it's one of those goals where it hits the post and then you're kind of like, you have that like millisecond where you don't know if it's going to go in or not, you know, that's sort of a fun, it's just a cool thing to watch on TV. And then Kieran Tierney with that great cross to Aubameyang too.
He is in incredible form right now.
Yeah.
So good.
So FA Cup, whatever. There's not a lot to say, really.
I think just more germane to the FPL conversation, my biggest takeaway from the FA Cup was that we saw no rotation surprises. Yeah. Key FPL assets were either didn't play or were subbed off at the 45-minute mark at halftime.
Yeah.
Thinking about Manchester City in particular, De Bruyne, Diaz, Cancelo, they all started, they all came off at halftime. So I think nothing happened this weekend that would cause us concern for players starting who we're focusing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
The only other takeaway that I'll have from the FA Cup, though, was Leeds United continue to be like the perfect fantasy team this year, because they didn't start anybody important and they lost. So like we know that like no matter what happens the rest of the season, it's very unlikely that we're ever going to have. I mean, obviously they could play a team that goes further in the FA Cup, but odds are that Leeds are going to be like a nice, steady, cheap team that we can have sort of game week in and game week out. So thank God we've got one, and everyone costs like under 6.5 million. So
I guess we could put Villa in that category to an extent. That was probably the story of the weekend, was that Friday fixture, Villa versus Liverpool, and Liverpool came out with, I mean, it was kind of a mixed lineup, but there were some, you know, A-team fellows on the pitch. Yeah. And Villa came out with their, like, under-23 team, and a huge night for Louis Barry. What a name, right? This sounds like he's a character from a Disney film or something like that. But so the theme this season on Always Cheating is make fantasy fun again. Nim, as a fellow content creator, it's been a wild ride the last 365 days, to say the least.
Yeah.
This season in particular, how are you doing with making fantasy fun? Because we got a question here from Ian who wants to know, is the season mantra of making fantasy fun again still working? How is it going for you, Nim?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster. It's definitely been that. It's been a very good mix between highs and lows. You know, I think also it's that thing of trying to pay attention to what's going on in the outside world, but also trying to see FPL as a form of escapism from that. Because it's,
do you find that your relationship with it has changed in that regard? Like, because you've been playing for, as you said, for about 15 years plus now.
Yeah.
And surely
you've
had...
Wow, has it been that long where I feel old? Yeah, I think so. It's definitely allowed me to, I think, take stock a little bit of how I play it. And my videos have always been more from an entertaining point of view anyway. They've definitely not been from a kind of, you know, very...
prescriptive, like, yeah, do this for your team,
yeah,
and,
exactly,
and equals success. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's always been more come with me on my journey and let's have a bit of a laugh, whatever happens, you know.
And Josh and I can relate to that approach,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely, you guys have the same mantra on that. So yeah, it's kind of highs and lows. Let's live through it. Hopefully we'll learn some stuff along the way. And you know, and it's been a lot like that this season. I think we've had to adapt quite a lot this season for sure, given the situation. But it's been tough to have a lot of fun with it, I think, just really because of that, and we're always conscious of that in the back of our minds. So it's and with the games being as thick and fast, I think don't yeah. necessarily there's no real exciting build up, if you see what I mean, to one particular match of the weekend and things like that that you would normally have. Yeah. So that takes a bit of the enjoyment out of it. But It's definitely a lot of escapism, and I'm trying, you know, always to put a positive spin on things where I can, because, you know, otherwise we could get very bogged down, couldn't we, in the negativity of the world right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's all we can do is just try and enjoy what we can out of it. And a lot of that is the community, yeah, and being able to talk, you know, to all of you guys about what we're going through, good or bad, really.
Well, the news that we really do have to parse as we discuss is all these fixture changes that may be happening, again, focusing on Aston Villa. And Josh, you were remarking, like, following all the conversations about is the Villa-Spurs game going to get canceled and so on and so forth. All of our preparation leading up to game week 18 has crossed from fun into this realm of work. So
there's a little bit of, yeah, I mean, here's my thought on this, which is sort of like a little bit we talked about on last week's Pod, Brandon, which is, you know, like, it can be kind of frustrating and stressful, but one is that there's, like, literally nothing else to do, right? Like, I can't read a book right now. I'm so distracted. Like, reading about, you know, anything that's happening in the world, especially right now in the United States, is horribly depressing. Like, give me this game that, like, is completely consuming my time and energy, and, like, just help me, like, get through to the other side of this, you know, everything that's happening in the world right now. And the other thing, which is something I've been thinking about the last few days, which is that I am starting to treat FPL, especially this season, as more like a, like, role player game, like an RPG, than I am like a proper fantasy game. Like, it is,
yeah,
like, you are going in these, like, it's like a quest, right? It's like getting through the end of the season. It's like, yeah, there's, like, weird walls.
Are you bringing a dwarf,
and,
a thief, yeah, or a magi with you, Josh?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody was joking, like, oh, like, your player scored a goal. Yeah. Oh, the VAR is looking at it. You know, roll 20 sided die if it's 14 yeah, or higher.
Go back 12 spaces.
I love that tweet. So I do have to shout out FP Elder. And I gave him a retweet. The tweet as such, which I think is genius, is, a penalty is given, but wait, VAR is looking at the call. Roll a 20-sided die to learn the outcome. 14 or higher, it is overturned on review. Just fantastic stuff. I think you totally hit on it there, Josh, with FPL now being an RPG. It's the three letters are there. This is basically a Tenet situation. It, like, reads this way.
Read this, exactly. Read it backwards. Yeah. All right. So let's take a quick break, and we're going to get right into, we've got a bunch of questions this week about Game Week 18. A lot of things have changed just in the last week or so, and we're also just getting a little closer to, we have a little more information because of what happened in the FA Cup. And so let's take a break, and we'll talk about building that perfect Game Week 18 squad. All right, we're back. A quick moment to say thank you to our Patreon supporters, anyone who wants to support the podcast, everyone who wants to support the podcast, I should say. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the pod. We have more than 500 Patreon supporters. It's great conversation that happens every day on our Slack. Mm-hmm. We also do a bonus podcast each week. If you want to hear this last one actually was what you might call an evergreen podcast, where Brandon and I talked about our favorite books and movies. And we talked a little bit about politics too. I'm not sure if we should have or not, but that was part of it as well. And
did we step in it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, who knows? But it was a wide ranging, we recorded like the day after the Capitol stuff. But anyway, it was a wide ranging discussion. So if you're looking for a little bonus content this week, especially with this weird week where you've got matches that, Basically, this podcast has a like 48 hours. It's like a, isotope 241 or whatever. Right?
It's there, like, you go. This thing will, like, it's a good, like, it's a good point though. Our bonus podcast just for our Patreon subscribers will be hitting late Thursday, and will be operate as our one big Game Week 19 preview.
Yeah. Yep. So we have another preview. Exactly. We'll do Game Week 19 preview on Thursday. And so patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you want to go. And just a quick thank you to our newest patrons this week, Thomas Andre and Jeff Bursalem, both new Lord Soloth patrons.
And guys, we are excited this week to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, which is a brand new program where you host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Yes, Josh and I host Always Cheating on the wonderful Blue Wire Network. And Hustle was created by them to help.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Help podcasters take their shows to the next level. Or if you want to start a podcast and you just don't know where to begin, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you're going to receive personalized podcast cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters. Maybe that's me and Josh. I don't want to assume anything. You also get access to the community Discord there at the Blue Wire Hustle and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, Hustle will help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And you can get all this support for your podcast for only $15 a month. And you're like, whoa, record scratch. This costs money? Well, of course it does, because it's going to cost you more than that and any other platform just to get a hosting site to get you set up. So this is quite a deal. So whether you're starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the Hustle program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the show notes of this episode for the link. But again, that's bwhustle.com/join.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating.
All right, we're back. Game week 18 kicks off on Tuesday. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time, and then I guess that's 6 p.m. Are you on the are you Greenwich time in that Welsh border? I wasn't sure. So 6 p.m. In the UK. And so it's, you know, as just as a refresher for anyone who isn't following this stuff, you know, super closely, it is, you know, it's a blank game week. So it's not only is it a midweek game week, it's a game week where you only have six matches, could go down to five, depending on what happens with Villa Spurs. And then there's some talk that if Villa Spurs are moved, that you might actually see Spurs Fulham fall into that. But I think that would have to happen really fast. The latest announcement, by the way, is that we should know by tomorrow if we recorded this on
tomorrow
Sunday,
being Monday. Yeah,
exactly. By Monday, probably early, I would suspect, because usually this stuff happens pretty early, whether Villa Spurs is going ahead or not. And if it isn't, then I think there is a chance we see that Spurs Fulham match move into that slot. Right. So anyway, so we have this short, you know, five or six matches this at midweek. And then to make things even trickier, you have literally like 12 hours
between no time.
Exactly. None.
You gotta be awake.
You do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal, like in the UK, Arsenal Palace is done at 10 p.m. that night. Right. So you've got like no time at all to start thinking about game week 19. Yeah. And if anything, you know, if any injuries happen like that, it's going to be like a mess. So, so game week 19, so just be ready. Game week 19 kicks off, on Friday, and it's a massive double game week. So there's just tons of fixtures. You know, we assume at this point that they'll all go forward as planned. I mean, I suppose, Villa Everton may be, a bit of a doubt now too, but
still undetermined at this point. But yeah, as you say, maybe the clarification that comes about Spurs Villa tomorrow, Monday, will certainly give us greater insight into that Everton fixture.
Yeah, here's hoping anyway.
Yeah. Totally. And like, you know, we could talk about speculation all, you know, forever, but we know that, you know, the vast majority of these matches will go on as scheduled. Burnley had talked about a couple of COVID cases, but then they did play in the FA Cup this weekend. So I think we can safely assume that that Burnley Man United match will kick off. So I have grouped Game Week 18 into a few different categories. Okay. I've got strategy questions, some player questions, and finally question at the end. So and by the way, the Josh L who asked that question, that's me. So I've asked my own question.
No catfishing here answer. On the Always Cheating yeah, podcast. Exactly. You're upfront about who you are.
I'm fair. And, yeah, exactly. Fair and balanced. So the first question comes from Fur Laburne, who says, for those who don't have a free hit and don't want a wild card this early, is there any chance to survive this game week? Maybe by doing a -4 or a -8. So, Nim, do you want to take the first question here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it very much depends on how many players you have from the fixtures already going ahead. So I think if you've got maybe 8 plus, I think you can probably survive this game week with a -4 or -8.
Yeah.
Any less than that, I think taking the hits versus what you might actually get back, and then obviously them being permanent hits as well, possibly taking out players that you have value in or that you want to keep long term, then right. it's possibly not a great strategy. So 7, 8, I think, players, then I'm all for it. I think go for it, try and navigate it with a couple of hits. But I think anything less than that, then think you might struggle. And if you have less than that and you don't have your free hit, then that's a really tough spot to be in, I think. So it really would depend on whether you could bench the players that you want to keep long term and that you weren't selling anyone of any real kind of attachment that you have to those players. Then you could probably say, well, actually, I'm keeping these players for long term, so I'm hoping the hits will repay me back over that time scale, so you could maybe get away with it. But otherwise, I think you're pretty much locked into an early wild card.
Well, so one thing to think about is there are, is it 14? So we have, I think it's Burnley, Man United, Villa, and Man City. Are all teams that have that play in game week 18 and then actually have a double game week in 19. So if you did burn that free hit early, I guess those would be the teams you want to focus on. Villa being maybe a little trickier, but certainly Man City.
I think both the Manchester teams are good to focus on if you don't want a free hit, because you could burn 4 or 8 points to get extra men in to fill out your squad for the blanks with United and City. Then you go right into 19 and they double. So I think that those hits, they immediately pay off in a way. United have a tough fixture the first half of their double in 19 against Liverpool. But then they've got Fulham, and you definitely have to back Man United for goals, if not a clean sheet in that match. I mean, we could talk about Manchester United's defense not being all that great, but I think there's a lot of upside with these both Manchester's sides as you're looking to burn points just to solidify your 18 squad.
I think the other thing I would think about here is I think if you get your captaincy right, it's almost like, okay, like, because I think there are, you know, I was thinking like there's got to be some first year managers out there who just use the free hit in game week 4 or whatever. Not really, you know, like I was talking earlier about Captain Aguero, you know, in game week 3 of my first season. So like there are people who might have just used it and not realized that, oh, this might be useful, you know, later on or whatever. Or just maybe they just had like too many injuries or something and just had to play it. And so, you know, if I were to think about building a team for game week 18 without a lot of, you know, without burning like 20 points or whatever, I think I would just make sure you had the players who could hurt you the most. And that would be Kevin De Bruyne. I think virtually every free hit team is going to have him. Bruno Fernandes, you probably already have him, you know. KDB's ownership is a little bit lower, but I think, you know, Bruno is pretty highly owned. Yeah, and that's kind of it. Maybe a Man City defender, you know, that seems like a useful thing to have.
So this is where it gets really dicey with the Spurs Villa fixture, because ultimately it's a player like Heung-Min Son who you may, I mean, because he's so highly owned, above 60%, even if you're in this position where you don't know if you'll free hit, can you cover yourself? Will you be okay? Odds are you probably have Heung-Min Son. I think, on the whole, you've got it right, Nim. Like, if from my perspective, if you've had upwards of 8 players, you're probably 1 or 2 players away from being able to escape. Even if you miss out on a player like Kevin De Bruyne's points in this odd game week 18, it's not like you're going to be buried in your overall rank. If you're playing in a head-to-head league or a work league where your rival has De Bruyne and you don't, that's cause for concern. Otherwise, I just don't think this is going to be a huge swingy week for people who are trying to swerve it, you know? I mean, for me, my rank is not great. I'm above 1 million right now overall. I am looking positively at this game week, 18 week of how can I improve my rank? So therefore, the free hit makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to stabilize, I don't think you have too much to worry about.
Yeah, Nim, you weren't part of this, but last week before we started recording our pod, Brandon was feeling a little down. And so we took about 10 minutes before the pod started to look up famous FPL managers and who were having a rougher season than Brandon. And we found about 20 and it really cheered him up. It was so if you're not having a good season, just go find like 25 people who are all doing worse than you and it'll really make you feel better. So
guys, to close out the non-free hit conversation, I want to throw a hypothetical at both of you. Okay. So we hinted at the idea that Kevin De Bruyne is probably the biggest player, be it an upside pick for somebody or a player who could possibly hurt you in game week 18. If you're not free hitting, how would you approach the Kevin De Bruyne question? If you have a player like Mo Salah, who's in a bit of a rut at the moment, would you consider moving Salah out for Kevin De Bruyne if you're not on a free hit for this 1 week just to try to keep up?
I'll go first because this actually was a question that a Patreon supporter asked on the Slack this morning. I was thinking about it. I mean, the problem is that if you make that move, Kevin De Bruyne has a double two. So it would almost be like a waste of a transfer, I feel like, to go back to Salah once you've made that move, you know, unless you can like burn four in a different way or, you know, find a way to have them both. But so it's basically like, are you willing to commit right now to going without Salah in the double? And I think it's really tricky. I actually still am inclined to captain Salah over KDB. I mean, I don't know, like Salah has three consecutive blanks, but I mean, he's not missing by much. I mean, if you're watching these matches, it's, you know, he's getting these chances that historically he just converts again and again and again. Yeah.
What about for you, Nim? Is Son a different type of asset where Spurs, even if they do play in game week 18, they don't double in game week 19? So forget about removing Salah because he's exciting because he does double in 19. Would you drop Son to fit in De Bruyne this week?
Yeah, so the Salah one's quite interesting. So I remember actually when we did our little Facebook thing together, we had to kind of choose somebody to go ahead with there, wasn't it? And we were kind of, I think you guys were on the KDB camp and I was on the Bruno camp. And for a while there, it was looking really great in the Bruno camp. I mean, still is, to be fair. But I mean, KDB has definitely turned a corner and I feel like Salah is a bit like that. You know, he's having those moments at the minute where it's like quite quiet, but at any moment he could like explode again. So it's really difficult to feel like, you know, that that's a great option when you know that. Just touching, you know, on what was mentioned there, though, City, it with KDB, it's really difficult. So I don't have KDB. I sold him a couple of weeks ago to get Robertson in my team for the double game week, because at the time we didn't know City were playing. But Manchester City have played Brighton 6 times and Manchester City have won every single game. And in the last 2 meetings, it's been 4-0 and 5-0. So, I mean, it's really difficult to
It's like what City came up against Chelsea. They love, City love playing teams who their whole philosophy is to play expansively. And Brighton are a different team from Chelsea, obviously a different caliber, but Potter's does set his team out to play openly.
Yeah, sure. So if we park that second and we think about Sun, I really struggle also to think about selling Sun. Now, it's different, obviously, if he doesn't play, then I guess you have to think about the value there. And obviously, he at the moment, he doesn't have a double in 19 either, but that's a great fixture for them, isn't it, in 19? So I think it's really difficult. It's one of the reasons why I am free hitting, you know, just really to have De Bruyne this week, and then come to game week 19, reassess. I will try my best to think of a way to get him in, you know.
Yeah, same.
But I had that dream midfield, and I gave it away. So I had Salah, Son, KDB, and Bruno. And
were you like me, Nim, and you thought Thomas Suchek would be able to replicate Kevin De Bruyne's points throughout the entire rest of the season?
We're
close
quite.
At this point. We're close.
That's true.
Not quite.
Suchek's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I got Rafinha in actually because I already had Suchek as my fifth midfielder.
Of course,
so,
you did. Yeah.
on my bench with loads of points. I mean, we all know how that feels. But yeah. Rafinha just looked great, and obviously he had the double game week, and it meant I could get Robertson, which meant I could then double up on Liverpool for the double game week, because like you were saying, I really do feel like, you know, even though they're a bit of a lull at the moment, Liverpool, it's just like them that in a double game week they could explode. So yeah, I think it's really difficult if it's no game this week and then a single the week after, and you feel like you can get KDB, and knowing the stats against Brighton and him having a double game week, then I think it's
compelling.
Gonna hurt, don't get me wrong, if Sonny goes big, because I don't want to sell him for the rest of the season. Took him out in the 2 weeks that he hauled early season. So I got off of him and he hauled, and then I got back on, and then I got off of him when Jose said
this
he wasn't going to play.
It's making me feel nervous again about, I am still contemplating dropping Sun just for game week 19. Now I'm slightly nervous again. I think it's, I think he's a little easier to drop just because KDB has three fixtures. And
do we think KDB plays in every single one of those fixtures, though? I mean, he's just played another 90 minutes in the FA Cup. I mean,
He was subbed at halftime. So
missed that bit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. We got kind of lucky there, which I think makes it a little safer.
Maybe that's hoping there because I don't
have
him.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
It's just like, he played 90 minutes, right? Nobody buy him.
Well, it is tricky though, right? Because, okay, so they play, I'll pull up KDB real quick. Because I mean, it's kind of hard to talk about game week 18 without talking about 19 as well. So I think it's fine to work in some 19 discussion here. So they play, on the 13th, which is Wednesday, the 17th, which is which is Sunday, and then again on the 20th, which is next Wednesday. So that would be, because he did play today, as you noted, that would be his fourth start in 10 days.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of starts. Yeah, that is a lot.
I think usually in the midweek games, generally Pep has rested him in the past, but I mean, are we at that stage of the season where he can't afford to at the moment, and then with other players kind of, you know, being unable with Aguero obviously to be there and things, does he have much of an option? It's so tough at the moment. But yeah, I think if I could go back a couple of weeks and get KDB back in, knowing that they had a double game week down the line, there's absolutely no way I would have sold him.
Yeah, I was in a weird, I actually have that dream midfield right now. I've got Bruno, KDB, Salah, and Son. But the KDB thing was, but I mean, it speaks to how much luck is a factor in the game, because I was planning to drop KDB before game week 17. And I wanted to hold him for game week 16 because Pep had said he was going to start. That was the Everton match, the one that got postponed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, Ancelotti's gone on the record and said that, that he's going to rotate heavily in that match. And Pep has gone on record to say that he will not be rotating KDB. So I was like, okay, that seems like a logical, I will hold KDB for this one final match. Yeah. Right. And then I will drop him before game week 17, because at that point they weren't playing in 18. Right. And so it was sort of like, okay, I'm going to set myself up.
We have plans, man. We have plans.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm just saying, like, you know, and the way it worked out, it was like that match got canceled and then they added a double game week, you know, and it was like everything suddenly looked completely different. So, you know, there is a lot of, like, again, it's like the theme. It's the season is a quest. The season is not a game any longer.
Yeah.
It is an epic quest.
The Dungeon Master hit us with a plot twist there. So, all right, let's reset and focus again on the free hit. We've got a question here from Roar Yorstad, who wants to know, free hit, triple up with players from big teams or reduce risk with only two? So I guess to answer this question from Roar, let's just look at, are there only two teams in game week 18 that merit focusing on for a triple up, or could you name three? And I think, Nim, you're an Arsenal fan. Would you qualify Arsenal as is Arsenal worthy of a triple up in 18 right now?
Yeah, so suddenly everyone's interested in Arsenal again, which feels a bit weird, doesn't it?
yeah, it does.
It's been a long time since anyone bothered with us as FPL assets. I'm not sure if I'd be really tripling up on us, that's for sure. You could, given the nature that two of the players that people are looking at, so we're talking about Saka, right, and Emile Smith Rowe, they're quite cheap in that midfield section. So Saka's 5.3 and more points than Aubameyang this season, 3 goals and 2 assists. And Rowe, tremendously cheap punt, 4.4 million. He's always been good, but since his stint at Huddersfield and RP Leipzig, he's just elevated his gameplay with 3 assists in the last 3 game weeks. I mean, I wouldn't go for both of those just because obviously I think that uses up another midfielder spot that you want to be using for another team. But I guess that could make your way into doing a triple or a double up on Arsenal assets, either with a Tini, for instance, or maybe even a Lacazette.
It's got me like salivating at the prospect of Villa Spurs being called off, because if you don't carry Kane or Son, then suddenly, I'll do Lacazette up front with Saka and Tierney. Yeah, I will do Rashford and Bruno in the midfield with maybe a United defender, and I can go triple City as well.
A United defender. Wow, I'm surprised by that.
I know.
Well,
from Brandon last week too. I'm not feeling this one.
I guess that was like extemporaneously. I was mentioning that. Obviously,
you could begun. Be out there. But,
when you're playing against Chris Wood, the clean sheet is never for certain. But I do think that
it's
that
a quest that's of your own, my
call.
Friend.
you must go on this journey alone.
But there's something very clean about it. I do think if Spurs are off the table, I think that I will look for triple United, triple City, triple Arsenal, and then Callum Wilson from Newcastle and an Everton player, basically.
Yeah, it's quite annoying that the that we do have uncertainty about the forward position for Man United, because Cavani, I believe, is now done with the suspension. So we really could see either one. I'm not sure. I would not say it's a certainty. That Cavani or Martial will start in Man United's match, and so I actually think I wouldn't be tripled up on Man United, and I kind of agreed about Arsenal. I mean, maybe I have three just because I'll have like Smith Rowe on my bench or something like that. But
I think it's good bench fodder there, especially or a first, especially with how kind of uncertain things are. Saka or Emile Smith Rowe's first on your bench at that kind of cheap price is not a bad shout whatsoever.
Yeah. I think he's 4.4 million. So I mean, 4. In some ways 4, he's like a So in some ways he's like kind of the perfect bench player because
I mean, if you're wildcarding right now, I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be your fifth.
That's true.
That's a really Zambo and Guisa.
That's true. We are thinking about, it's almost like we just don't have enough time to do that. But I know that like some people are also wildcarding. I think that's just almost more than we can cover in this week's pod. So if you're wildcarding, good luck with all that, So I think the question, Brent, I think you were right to break this down, because I think the question then becomes, do you want to triple up on Man City? And the answer is yes. You do. And
that team would be first on the list to triple up on, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think you necessarily have to triple up on anybody else. And so that's just sort of, I don't know, maybe Man United defender, like Brennan said, maybe that works for some reason for your squad. But, but I think, cause I think for me, it's really tempting to have, Diaz, Cancelo, and, and Kieran Tierney, right? That would be my back three mm-hmm. if I can afford them. And then at that point, I wouldn't necessarily want another 5.5 million or whatever, you know, on my bench and one of the Man United defenders. It would just be, you know, more money than I want to spend. Maybe De Gea, I guess. I don't know. I hadn't thought about De Gea.
Really? That you saying De Gea is that moment where Obi-Wan pulls his hood back and says, "Now that's a name I haven't heard in a long time."
Sorry, they faced each other 12 times, Burnley and Man United. And Man United have won 6 times, whilst Burnley have only won twice. But there's been 4 draws between the pair. And in the last 2 meetings, it's been 2-0. So you've got a 50-50 chance because it's been 2-0 to United once and 2-0 to Burnley once. Okay. So, it could go either way.
I would have thought they would have had more than 6 wins.
Just that's a really, little that's, fun fact there.
Surprising. Yeah. All right. So I think we've resolved that one enough to move on here. The next question, this is from FPL King, and I believe this is directed specifically to you, Nim, although I think I'm going to open this up to the floor. But you can take this one first. FPL King says, any hidden gems out there that you could point us to in game week 18? So some under the radar options, anyone that maybe people haven't been talking about enough.
Yeah. So, hey, Kingy, I think it's we've already hit upon a couple, obviously, with Smith Rowe and Saka of Arsenal, and obviously the mention to Lacazette as well. So I think their differentials only because I think outside of the FPL community, there might not be quite so many people looking at them. And I guess we have to remember that we are quite a small bubble in the grand scheme of FPL. So, so I think they're still good options. You know what, there's a couple here. So, like, forwards, actually keeping Calvert-Lewin could end up being a bit of a kind of hidden gem differential this week because we have Dina back and Richarlison possibly back as well, I think I heard. So, you know, he could end up being one of those ones that a lot of people sell on just because of the nature of things, and then he ends up doing quite well. Moving on to midfield, I'm thinking maybe Neto. 6 million, 4 goals, 5 assists, 2 of the assists coming in the last 3 games.
He's really the talisman of that squad now, isn't he?
He is.
Fun player to watch, too. I find him very easy to root for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And Gundogan as well of City, I think, has kind of been flying under the radar a little bit. 5.4 million, 3 goals in the last 4 game weeks. Seemingly fully rested in the FA Cup, but, you know... Pep comes with caution, of course.
Right. He has been good. He's almost been in that David Silva role a little bit as well, where he has been surprisingly good. I don't know that going into the season, I would have thought that Gundogan was capable of playing this well. Yeah. So,
do you remember when Gundogan first hit the Manchester City scene and he was scoring goals for fun in the league and in the Champions League?
Yeah.
I've heard that before. And then he got that terrible injury. I don't remember if it was his ACL or whatnot. And then we just stopped thinking about him. Mm. So we do know that if he plays in the hole, he can get on the end of... He does the Pep crash the box thing very well. Yeah. I think that's an interesting one. For me, so Josh, you were mentioning the ideal back line for game week 18 would be Tierney, Cancelo, and Diaz. If you assume we all have De Bruyne, I do wonder if one of those City spots is better served with Raheem Sterling. So it seems odd to talk about Sterling as this hidden gem, right, Nim? But there he is. He's just has incredibly low ownership. He's like, what, right? Around 5% owned, perhaps. And if it goes as Nim predicts, and I think there's every reason that it would, that City score goals here, Sterling is a much bigger upside than a Man City defender. Can yeah. anyone dispute this?
No, I completely agree. Actually, in that 5-0, Sterling got a hat-trick. So,
oh, there we go. Oh,
wow. Yeah, wow. So, you know, against Brighton last time they played. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying there. Definitely not disputing it.
The only concern is that Pep did have some comments today about Sterling had like a minor injury of sorts.
Oh,
and that was one of the reasons he wasn't on the bench today. So, okay. You know, classic Pep, like no information at all, right? Yeah. So we don't know if it means sure. he's out for... You know, if it was, you know, if he's completely fine and he was just out for mm-hmm. this one match or what, but that just, it didn't sound like it was anything significant. But because they play in 3 days, it was enough to make me a little nervous. And so
I hate that. I absolutely hate
why
that.
Why does he do that, man? Why? And also, he did actually say a quote as well just a day or two ago about Gundogan saying that he could play as a false nine and he will.
Oh, God. I'm like 100% going to bring him in now. I'm going to get him in.
By the please way, don't blame it on me.
No, I won't.
But if it goes off, it was all my idea.
Yeah. Let's move on to some player questions. First one comes from Pratesh Shetty. He says, do you want to triple up on Man City? We talked about the triple up on Man City earlier. Do you go with two attackers or do you go with two defenders? And I guess that assumes that KDB is the constant here. So are you flanking KDB with one more attacker and one defender, or are you going with two defenders? And Brandon, do you want to take this one to start?
I think this is a largely philosophical question to start with. Results-based philosophy, right? Uh-huh. Do you think in game week 18 you have more to gain by chasing goals or clean sheets? And ooh. I think I fall on the side of goals. Now, there is an obvious world in which John Stones gets a clean sheet and a goal and all three bonus, and you get both for your money. But I do think if you're looking to make moves, if you're looking to just gobble up the points, I feel like this is an opportunity to double up on City attack. I would not advocate, I think, because City's defense is clearly the best in the league at the moment, that it would kind of be silly to overlook that and have no City defense. I feel like that's hedging in some people's books, but I think one City defender and two attackers is very much how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm getting talked to, you know, Nim has planted the Gundogan seed in my brain. And
the Gundog has been planted.
it's been growing. Exactly. We had to pause the podcast a second ago, and I just was thinking about it as that happened. And it's really now the Gundog is now controlling my moves for me, and there's really nothing I can do.
This is like a Manchurian Gundogan situation.
It is. I know. That's exactly what's happening. I just think it's more fun. I you know, there's something about the free hit where you, I'm kind of with Brandon where I just want to go all out. And there's something about the hedge with the two defenders that seems fine. But I also think that you know, what's like the worst, I don't know. It feels like, there's a pretty big ceiling for someone like Gundogan or possibly Sterling if he gets cleared.
You were really going to say what's the worst thing that could happen then, weren't you?
I know.
I was just thinking. This is Pep we're talking about.
Here's the worst thing that could happen, guys. You have a clean sheet locked in for your two City defenders on your free hit. And in the 92nd minute, Callum Hudson-Odoi scores a completely irrelevant, insignificant goal. And suddenly all hopes and dreams are shattered, like so many horrible things. This is the clean sheet watch was a game that I decided to 100% get out of after game week 17. I have like PTSD from this.
What about Gabriel Jesus? He started today. He's back and available to play. Probably starts again on Wednesday. Would we consider him? He's not like one of those players who breaks your heart, but I mean, Gabriel Jesus starting at home to Brighton, you'd have to expect some returns there.
This is based on pure fantasy though, isn't it? not fantasy, but well, I guess it is fantasy. It's literally fantasy. But,
just literally fantasy.
But okay, it's an interesting comparison between Sterling and Jesus because here are two players who have been fairly underwhelming for the entire season. Who has the greater upside? So based on the assumption that Sterling is cleared to play, if we were to know that information. I feel like you'd go sterling 100% of the time. Yeah. Jesus offers nothing more than basically some sort of portal through which the ball is passed to another player.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If Sterling is not available, but Jesus is, I think that we have to seriously consider Jesus for this match. I think he's very much. I know that you, Brennan, have your.
I can't get on
your,
board with it.
I know.
Sorry.
You guys
he's not Aguero for me, you know.
I feel like you both have your free hit team set up. And I have not made a single transfer. I haven't even activated my free hit chip.
So well, I haven't done that. I haven't actually activated it. No, I've just kind of gone on to fix and made up a team that I like at the moment. But there's three spots I'm still kind of, you know, deciding between. And those three spots are whether to go with double city attack or whether to go with double city defense. So it's kind of between, going with... Because I mean, Cancelo and Diaz, they bring a bit of threat too. So, yeah. It's kind of deciding between go with one of them or maybe just to go mad, bat shizzle as I call it, crazy and go a bit gun dog as well in midfield. if Sonny is out and Kane is out, then I could very easily see myself putting Sace in where Cancelo is, and. Putting Gundog where Sun is at the moment in my
You and I agree, Nim, the Jesus slot is reserved for Lacazette. If you're going to spend that money, it's Lacazette, right?
Yeah, it's Lacazette or I stick with Calvert-Lewin. I can't really see. At the moment, it's Wilson and Kane, but I genuinely am feeling like I could move back to Calvert and I could happily have Lacazette up top. But Jesus isn't really in my thinking. I mean, for me, Jesus is very similar to Firmino in a way, in terms of the way they are and what they do for the team. Yes, he has those weeks where he explodes. Like, I just imagine that to somehow happen in the double game week when none of us have him, you know? Yeah. Rather than possibly in the single. But I can see your thinking, you know, it's especially the stats we were saying earlier. And of course, it'll be Welbeck that scores that goal for Brighton rather than...
Yeah, exactly. Welbeck will cancel out our double clean sheet. I think you're right about Cancelo, however you say his name. Is it Cancelo? Yeah. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We won't solve that problem here today.
No, we won't. Yeah, exactly.
That is a quest for another day.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll forget it anyway. So I still can't pronounce Middlesbrough. So I think I just did.
Pretty good.
I stopped thinking about it.
Yeah, that was the greatest breakthrough that's ever happened on Always Cheating. Wow. Go on, Josh. Ride that wave.
Yeah. I feel like Cancelo is a player who it's actually shocking. I was just looking through his stats. He has to be one of the best players who has not had a double digit return so far this season. I mean, he
just looks so good.
He looks so good. He's so active. I feel like he sent in some incredible crosses. He only has one assist on the season, which seems pretty low considering how good he's looked in matches. He's actually started the last six Premier League matches, and he started 11 of the last 12. So he's in my head, I still think of him as an inconsistent starter, but I mean, 11 out of 12, that's pretty much...
Yeah.
You know, that's about as good as you're going to get with Pep rotation.
He just has business being at the top of the field like he is most weeks. It's crazy. Yeah.
I think that what you said, Josh, leads me to believe that the upside of these City defenders is wildly overstated. So Cancelo only has one assist on this season. Mm-hmm. Diaz, he's always up there on set pieces, but he's not even hit the target, I don't think. And he only has three bonus on the entire season. So little threat of bonus, let alone goals or assists from these guys. It's like the ceiling seems to be 6, 7, 8 points.
Yeah, I guess so. I feel like it wouldn't take that much for him to get like a 12-point return, though. I mean, just one assist goes
through.
It's
like Laporte, right? In the double game week last year, we were all like, should we double up and all that sort of stuff? And those people who went with Laporte just absolutely smashed it out of the park.
It's crazy. Laporte is now in that category. Who is the guy who finally left, the center back who finally left Man City?
Mangala Otamendi?
Otamendi, where it's like there's this weird, like every year now there's like a center back that we thought was going to be the answer for Man City just like kind of like goes away. And like, I mean, Laporte was incredible like 2 years ago, and now he's just like kind of in the outs. And
I think he's injured now as well. So.
Is he injured again? Okay. Mm. Yeah. Cause he's kind of in and out, I guess, of the squad. Mm. All right. So let's get let's do just a lightning round style. Just a couple more questions here. Jeff B says, is Richarlison worth a punt on our free hit? And then he notes he scored 4-4 against Wolves. Wow. And Dean and James are back.
Mm. Seems like a pretty good case that Jeff is making here. I didn't know the stat of 4-4 for Richarlison. And Richarlison is a classic free hit player for me in that. Free hit, you're looking for players where I don't want this player. So I was right. Bear with me.
He won't do well.
So I'm gonna buy him.
shout out to Late Riser who were mentioning earlier. I was watching a video that he made for FPL India, and he was talking about, well, if you're looking to get these, citing Manchester United and City assets, if you're looking to get them in on your free hit, and you're going to still want them for game week 19, why don't you just not play your free hit and bring them in? And so the idea there being, are you free hitting in players that you actually want long term? And if so, why not just actually transfer them in instead of playing your free hit? Which brings us to Richarlison. And Richarlison, easy for me to make the case, I'm never going to want him long term. He's such a fun player to have as a 1 week punt, and he has the capability of delivering in certain fixtures. So yeah. I love this idea of him as a 1 week upside differential.
I'm not sure. I think it's because I don't really know what way that fixture is going to go. So they played each other 12 times, 5 draws, Everton just edging the wins 5-4. I mean, it could go either way that match. Of course, obviously, Wolves don't have Jimenez, but I think, like, I feel like there's, you want to have fun with your free hit, but you also want some security. And there's just that feeling with Calvert-Lewin that if they score, that yeah, there's just that right. level of security with him. But yeah, I mean, he
and you mentioned Dean being back, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't discount that. And Dean,
oh no,
the DCL, his prime feature is his work in the air, and Dean's prime feature is his crossing. So
yeah,
that
five assists
for
this season,
right?
Yeah, 5 assists this season for Dina. So
wow,
yeah,
missed half the season too. Right?
Missed half the season. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a bit pricey, $6 million though for a free hit. But you never know if you've got the cash, especially if Kane and Son are out. You know, there'll be plenty of cash flying around for sure.
Yeah. I feel like Dean is one of those players we're all going to end up having again at some point down the line.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking ahead, they have a stretch in March where they play Burnley, West Brom, Palace, and Brighton. It's like 4 matches in a row, and that's going to be very tempting for all of us for sure. All right, and then final question is from Camille B. He says, do we trust Arsenal enough to actually triple up on their assets, or should we seek an answer in the Wolves-Everton match? So we discussed the triple up question enough already, but just how about a double up on Arsenal?
So, Nim, I totally agree that while I'm big upping Richarlison as a 1 week punt, Wolves Everton, totally agree. It's more or less an unpredictable match because Wolves are in this mode where you kind of don't know which version of this team is going to show up week to week, nor half to half. Like, so Wolves Brighton in game week 17, Wolves annihilated Brighton in the first half and then were annihilated by Brighton in the second half. And Everton have been a bit mercurial as of late too, mostly due to injury. So that's a tough one. Then you look at Arsenal versus Palace. This feels like, I mean, I'm backing myself into a rhetorical corner here, I understand, yeah, because
I'm not
all
sure
of the,
what you're saying right now.
Basically, what I'm saying is all these fixtures are unpredictable. I do think that the Arsenal fixture is more secure than the Wolves-Everton fixture, particularly because, for whatever it's worth, Arsenal are playing at the Emirates. I would feel much more comfortable banking on an Arsenal triple up over Wolves-Everton. I think that Wolves-Everton match for me is maybe one player from Wolves, whether it's Neto, Naves, Sace, or one player from Everton, whether it's Richarlison or DCL or James. Arsenal, just they have this array of price points too, which makes them more appealing. Saka very cheap, Lacazette a little more pricey, and Tierney in a mid-tier defender bracket. There are more entry points for me with Arsenal than there are for Wolves, Everton. On top of the whole, I think I can predict the Arsenal scoreline or Arsenal Palace scoreline better than Wolves, Everton.
And I think it's just more with Lacazette. His form at the moment, 4 goals in 3 games, and he's missed a fair few minutes in those games as well. They haven't all been 90 minutes. Whereas with Richarlison, he's just coming back from injury, so it just feels like they're both punts, but Lacazette feels more, I don't know, just like a safer punt almost.
And Lacazette provided the assist to Smith Rowe in the FA Cup fixture as well. So
yeah, I feel like that's when the team really came to life, was when Lacazette came on. But I don't think we should take anything away from Palace here. You know, they've definitely tightened up a lot of the back. And actually, we've had 2 draws with them in the last 2 matches. It was 2-1. So, you know, there's goals, but it's not necessarily usually a walkover either way for each team. I mean, I think we have beaten them way more than we've lost to them. But that, you know, I don't know, it just feels like there'll be goals in both games, if I'm honest, but it's just with that, I think it's the form, and it's more with Lacazette, the form feels a bit safer than Richarlison's form. But I don't want to put anyone off their vibe. You know, if you're going to go out there and have fun with a free hit, and you're feeling Richarlison, just go with it. You know, like me with Gundog. You know, if I'm feeling it, we go for it. You know, we just have some fun with it. Bring in the fun back to FPL.
I think this segues into the final question for this week, which is our captain pick for game week 18. Because I think with Crystal Palace, with Wolves, and with Burnley. Less so with Brighton for sure. But with those other three, you have kind of mid table-ish teams. I guess, you know, I guess Wolves are a little better than that. Who can put in a really tough performance when called upon, right? So like, I mean, it would not be shocking if Burnley were able to keep a clean sheet at home to Man United. It would not be shocking if Wolves were able to keep Everton from scoring. Mm-hmm. I think that makes the captaincy decision for a non-Man City option a little bit trickier. And so I'm just curious, Nim, who are you leaning towards right now for your game week 18 captain?
Yeah, so at the moment, I think it's on Bruno. It's just mainly because he feels quite secure. He just ticks along nicely every week. It's definitely going to be on one of the penalty takers for me, for sure. Right. So, so it's you know, it's Bruno, it's KDB, and if Spurs play, then Kane. For me, it's between those three players, just based on
Callum penalties. Wilson. Callum Wilson takes pens.
Yeah, true, but I have a love-hate relationship with Callum Wilson. You know, he is definitely one of my favorite gifts of all time is the Castaway gif with the Wilson.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Because literally, I have got on and off of him like so many times in so many seasons, and we've had great times and we've had terrible times together. This season he's been particularly horrible to me because I had the choice in those 3 really great fixtures to go him over Bamford, and I went for him and he did absolutely nothing for me. I think he got like one goal, one assist, something like that. So I just don't feel like, you know, I can quite do it, I'm afraid.
I think that I'm going to make a case here for the theme being making fantasy fun. It may seem counterintuitive that captaining Kevin De Bruyne, that's just stock.
It's just boring.
That's chalk.
It's boring. It's normal.
How is it boring to captain? For me, De Bruyne is my favorite midfielder to watch in the game, if not like the favorite, my favorite player to watch in all of football across the globe at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he's strong. Just a beautiful player.
This is the same man who
that
2 weeks ago
you got confused
ago,
with.
It's the same man who 2 weeks ago transferred KDB out before a home match to Newcastle.
I did Brandon. The same. Just,
yeah, yeah, and guess yeah. what? It worked out. It worked in my favor. Okay, and I was right.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Yeah, same. I got Rafinha and he did brilliant for me. It's just a shame it's gone true. Down the pan now, you know? It's just a shame now that he's De Bruyne has decided to become a god again and he has a double game week, you know?
And he can do it. Me transferring out De Bruyne, me slagging off Man City's form, never had anything to do with Kevin De Bruyne. It just always had everything to do with the squad. And I think that the jury is still out. I totally believe that Frank Lampard played into City's hands in game week 17. That was a perfectly set up for De Bruyne to do well. This is if we're talking about the majority of people out there who are strategizing for the free hit, looking at Kevin De Bruyne, this is a 1 week opportunity to have him and to captain him. He is the best option and he will be the most fun to watch. And there is no argument against this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you put it that way, that level of anger, it's
unless you decide to go with Gundog, then you know it's a whole different story.
Gundog would be a make fantasy fun again pick for sure.
That would really
so this is what really makes me angry about the Raheem Sterling thing is Sterling is that true. Perfect just see what happens. Sort of a captaincy.
He would be a really fun player. Mm-hmm. He'd be a really fun player to captain in game week 18. I think that's right. I think if he gets a clean bill of health, I think that's a really
yeah. We need to press it, don't we, on that one?
We do. Yeah. I think I'm sort of between Bruno and KDB myself. KDB did get another assist today in the 45 minutes that he played. It's hard to resist because I just really don't respect the Brighton defense. I don't think that they can keep Man City at bay. You know, the other wrinkle here, just because there can never be enough wrinkles this season, is that there is like a bit of an ankle injury right now with Nick Pope. And I think that there's a chance that Pope doesn't play.
Yeah, I did hear that.
It's a Peacock Farrell situation. We all know what City did to Peacock Farrell. Exactly. Imagine what Bruno's going to do.
Exactly. He got pretty peacocked, didn't he?
Yeah. So, and there's also the psychological element, which Man United play first. And so if you want that extra day, sometimes that's a fun.
You're kind of talking me out of the Bruno situation there. I mean.
I know.
No, to be fair, you know, I haven't really settled on it. And usually when I don't settle on it, it becomes a kind of whatever I'm feeling last minute. And so I think that's probably what will happen. I think there's lots up in the air still, isn't there, with not knowing about that Aston Villa match. I mean, especially if for some reason Spurs do play, but they end up playing against those under, you know, 23s or something. I mean, that opens door right up to Kane and Son again, you know? So,
yeah, honestly, that opens the door to, and I guess we've been sort of tiptoeing around that fixture because there's no point talking about it, right, for 20 minutes if we don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, you're right. If Spurs play the Aston Villa under 23s,
that won't happen. That just won't happen. Yeah, I feel like they canceled that City fixture because they were missing three first team players. If Villa have, what, 7-8 players in the first team down with COVID, it's canceled. It's off. They said
and one of the players who has COVID is a star. So we know that Ollie Watkins is available to play in this match. So that does change things a little bit. we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, even with the chat about Spurs versus Fulham happening, replacing that fixture, you know, I mean, Fulham being better at the back, but still, I think, you know, Son and Kane against them could still do quite well.
Yeah.
It's tough. I'm probably, you know, likely to steer away from them, as you say, and go with a KDB or United. You could even shout on a Rashford, I guess, if you wanted to be out there a little bit more, especially if Pope is out there, then I would do probably with Spurs at this moment in time. But yeah, there's a lot of options. It's definitely going to be a last minute thing.
I think it's going to be last minute for me as well. But KDB seems like the simplest way to do it. Just keep it really simple. And keep it real. The question I have is, when do I actually activate this free hit chip? I feel like I need to do it soon. Like I can't, otherwise I'm going to be like, I know I'm going to be so stressed out. If I activate this thing like 2 hours before the
deadline, you're going to end up with Rodri.
Go to my YouTube and just watch my, you know, my free hit layout and just copy that if you need to.
Perfect outro. See, experienced podcaster knows how to end the pod. When will that next video be available, do you expect?
It's out now, actually, on my YouTube channel.
It's out now.
Yeah,
great. Okay,
how do we find it, Nim? Where do people find you on YouTube and Twitter and wherever you want to send your viewers?
Yeah, brilliant. So it's youtube.com/FPLNimFreer. On Twitter, it's at FPLNim. And on Instagram, it's at FPLNimFreer. So, yeah. And just to say a big thank you to you guys for having me on. I really, really enjoyed it. And just on your whole kind of journey and quest thing, I think if you can get through to the end of this season and finish the end of the season, then I think that's a win, regardless of what OR you come or whether you win your mini league, you survive the quest.
You become a warlock or something, right?
Yeah.
Something happens to you. You become Gandalf the White, I think, is what actually happens.
So yeah, you get more gray hair for sure.
That's a dope look, though. That is a dope look.
That's so in at the moment. It's on trend.
It's so obvious in this pod that I watched Lord of the Rings recently. I've worked it into like every single pod. Like, I'm going to have to stop soon. It's anyway. All right. Thank you for coming on, by the way, Nim. I really appreciate it. I feel like this has actually gone pretty. I think I told you when we first started recording, I said, you know what? Short turnaround time. We're going to do about 40 minutes and be in and out. I think we've more than doubled that already. So thank you so much for your time. And and good luck to everybody in Game Week 18. Just a couple of quick notes. Once again, if you want to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We'll do another pod on Thursday for Game Week 19. So that people have a little bit of content before that quick turnaround. Brendan, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Would love to. Big thanks to producers Trevor Ingerson, Mike DePietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue No Stew, Mikey Uong, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadakis, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Bobby Stiles, Future Media Group, FPL, and don't forget, never miss an episode of Always Cheating. Give us a subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever you get your pods. Give us a rating and review if you'd be so kind. Follow us wherever you get your social media. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. Our website is alwayscheating.com. And once again, if you want to interact with Nim, find her on Twitter at FPLNim. That's NYM. And your YouTube channel, Nim, that's FPLNimFria, NYMFRIA. You're the best. Wishing you guys the best of luck on your free hits in Game Week 18.
Bye.
Good luck, everybody.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.